If you are new to Element, welcome. There are Bibles in the seat backs in front of you. If you don't own one, you can have one. If you forgot one, you can use one. There are sermon notes that look like this, with a thanks mom on top of them, around the room here. They're on the tables. And so feel free to pick one of those up so that you can follow along today and take it home. There's some questions to discuss later. And if you have a smartphone, you can download the YouVersion Bible app. And on the bottom right, you can select More, then Events, and you can find us in the app as Element Christian Church. In there, you'll find today's announcements, the verses, the notes, and more. Again, welcome to Element. My name is Kevin, and I have the joy of serving with high school and young adults here. Would you stand with me for the reading of God's Word? So from Philippians 1:6. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. Let's pray. God, thank you for being here with us today. God, thank you that we get to celebrate our moms in a special way today. God, thank you for these teenagers who were also on the stage now and later throughout the service, and some who are serving in the back today, for their gifts and their time. So we are excited to be here, God, and we know that you will speak. So would you help us to focus and listen and hear your truth today for wherever we are. We give you this time. In Jesus' name, amen. You can have a seat. As you can see, today is a little different, right? First, it's Youth Takeover, which is a treat for us all. And I hope that that's true, especially for the moms joining us today. What a joy it is, like I said, to have these young people involved throughout the church. So thank you, teens and students, little kids as well, for using your skills and your gifts and your energy to serve this morning. And by the way, I have a shameless plug. If you are encouraged by these teenagers, I encourage you to maybe come and look about being one of our youth leaders. Our young people benefit by being in a relationship with Jesus-loving adults. And we have lots of fun together, but more importantly, we point each other back to the gospel. So if you're curious at all about what youth looks like here at Element, come and talk to us. And second, of course, it's Mother's Day. So to all of you moms in the room or watching online or listening later, thank you. Your love and support for your children, biological or otherwise, impacts them in a deep and powerful way. Thank you for your prayers, your care, your guidance, your wisdom, your efforts, and for showing us how to trust and follow Jesus, even in the little things. And also, we pray that you enjoy that little treat as a sign that we love you. So today's message is for all of you moms. Yes, I had you in mind a lot when I was writing this, and you hear that a bit. And I pray that God speaks words of encouragement and freedom into your lives. But it's also for every one of us. Dads or newly married or those without kids, widows, singles, even the teenagers, everyone. So tune in and track with me. But what do you preach on Mother's Day? Let me tell you, it's not easy to decide. I'd much rather someone say, preach this verse out of this book of the Bible. It's much easier. So I wrestled with God quite a bit. I looked at lots of biblical moms and many of them who don't get preached about, but none of those seemed to fit with what was going on this morning. And then I also knew that I didn't want to just give you a message about what the ideal mom looks like. Today's moms are so inundated with expectations that whether they're from culture around us or from their own idealized picture of what a good mom should be like. And we humans are these comparison machines, and moms, you're no exception, right? We compare ourselves to others or our ideal self and create a set of expectations that we think we should live by. And this happens all throughout our day, while we're running errands or at our kids' sports practice or picking up our children from school. Maybe it happens at work or reading an article on parenting or while we're exercising at the gym or driving by the gym and thinking we should be. That's me right there. Or even when we're scrolling on our social media or watching TV or movies. We might think to ourselves, I wish my kids were that well-behaved. Well, you know, it's all not reality in movies, right? Or I should help my family eat healthier. Or I should spend more time exercising. Or all sorts of things. I'm not too far off from that expectation game, right? And for most of us, that burden of expectations that we place on ourselves is heavy, especially if we're a parent. And if I am far off and you've got this all figured out and you're completely content with the state of your life, well, well done to you. Come up here and teach us. So today, I don't want to give us a list of the top 5 biblical ways you can be a better mom or the 7 ways that you can help your children succeed. No, today is not about heaping more expectations on you. More things to do, or steps to overcome your parenting failures, or adding more pressure of living up to this ideal parent that we have in our heads sometimes. You don't need any extra activities or stress added to your lives. There's more than enough to go around. But I would rather, there we are. Instead of drawing us to look at these biblical mothers or heaping more expectation, God kept bringing me back to a memory involving my own mom from freshman year of college. My mom is so great. She's being very patient right now and driving up in an RV to Oregon with my dad. It's his birthday as well as Mom's Day today. And not a knock against my dad, but my mom is a prayer warrior. She's the peacemaker in our family, the strong and gentle and compassionate and patient one who holds our messy family together. So thank you, Mom, if you get to watch this later. And thank God for you. So I think it was Christmas of my freshman year of college. During that pivotal time of my life, I was 18, having just moved away from home and out on my own. I was deciding on a future career and all of these things. My parents, but specifically my mom, gave me a small, simple silver chain necklace and cross. And this little cross was hand-selected for me by my mom. And it was a meaningful gift as I started taking on the sole responsibility for my life decisions as an 18-year-old. And there should be a photo of it back there for you to see. This gift, this necklace, and the truth that it illustrates is what God put on my heart to share with you today. So here's where we're going as I get to the story about this. I've got some bad news for all of us, or rather, it's hard news. It's a reality check. And then we get to some great news, some good news, the news that I pray will lighten our hearts, encourage us, and give us all hope and bring some freedom from the expectations we place on ourselves, especially if we are parents. And finally, I want to share how we might live each day more and more in the freedom of this good news. This gospel truth of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. So that's where we're going. So here's the hard news, the reality check. Moms, you're so busy. Some statistics that I found from a few years ago, about 2022, 1 in 3 mothers feel stressed at least 5 days a week. I'm guessing it's probably closer to 7. 9 out of 10 moms would clone themselves to help handle all of the things, like one to do this task and one to do that, because they feel exhausted by all the responsibilities and expectations placed on them. 4 in 5 mothers think, I'll just do it myself. I found this one really interesting. But they want to just do it themselves because they don't think they'll get the support that they need from other family members. Or they fear feeling like a failure for not accomplishing something that they should. There's that expectation, that heavy burden. So between housekeeping and homework help and cooking and kids' transportation, not to mention many moms who also work to provide for their family, it's no wonder why more than 75% of moms feel burnt out. So preparing for this message as well, that was some context. I also asked a few moms, what do mothers need to hear? And one of them responded along the lines of challenging mothers to not let their kids become their God. Ouch. As an observer, you know, you get to see all your teenagers, it seems like this can happen without realizing it. Our busyness often reveals what god or idol rules our lives. I've seen moms and dads, not just blaming one side here, who are always busy carting their kids to school and activities, or anxious over the quality and ranking of their kids' schools, or involving their kids in numerous extracurriculars as if they're going to be the next pro soccer or football legend. Maybe, maybe not, probably not, reality. Maybe they're pushing their kids to high achievement and success in the realms of school or sports or performing arts or social spheres. And they're tracking their kids' every movement with an AirTag or the Life 360 app or whatever it might be. Yes, these are almost all good things. Don't hear me wrong on that. But when they consume the majority of our attention and energy, we might need to check ourselves. By all means, track your fourth grader as she makes her way home from school on her own. Yes, just don't center your life around your kids flourishing. When we do this, we make an idol out of our kids. We worship at the altar of our kids' safety or their success or their happiness, but nothing we do can guarantee those things for them. So don't make your kids your God. The reality is that you can't do it, Mom. Actually, none of us can. Maybe you're striving to protect your kids from all the stress and dangers and hurts of the world. Maybe you're striving to provide a strong foundation for your kids' future success with their high achievements. Maybe you're striving to give your kids a happier childhood by giving them most of their heart's desires, like that pony that they always ask for. No. But whatever the reason, whatever the motivation behind all of your striving is not enough and never will be. There's not enough time in the day. There's not enough strength in your body. There's not enough mental determination and willpower and patience. You and I, and everyone hearing this message, we are human. We are not God. Only God is God. We're finite. We have a birth date and an expiration date. We're limited by our very nature as mortal creatures. It's not a pleasant or fun thought, but it's true. And we see this clearly in Scripture, that sin has brought death on us all. From Genesis chapter 3, "By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken." You were taken, right, from the ground. "For you are dust, and to dust you shall return." So to reiterate this, parents, you can't protect your kids from everything and everyone that might hurt them. You can't guarantee their success today or in the future. You can't guarantee their health, their happiness, or joy. You can't even protect your kids from yourself. You can't control all the things. And why can't we do it? Because we're not God. And honestly, thank God for that. What a mess of things I would make if I were responsible to hold all things together. There's a great movie called Bruce Almighty from years ago. You can watch it. Maybe we understand that we aren't God and that we can't protect our kids from every hurt and danger. But instead, we have this thing called FOMO, the fear of missing out. And possibly even FOMO for our kids' sake. We may have missed out on certain opportunities as children, and we don't want our kids to miss out on those opportunities or experiences either. So we have this fear of missing out, and it's real, but it contains a lie, a false assumption. Yes, it's true. We're finite creatures. We're bound to one place and time, and we will miss out on things in life. That's what happens. Every yes decision that we make means we're saying no to many other decisions. And as we miss out on things, as we choose some things and leave others behind, we're allowed to grieve those lost opportunities. But let's be real about our humanity. Just like we can't protect our kids from every hurt and danger, we can't also be everything everywhere all at once. There's a lot of movie references here. That's all right. You can't be the best parent and the best spouse and the best employee and the best friend and the best son or daughter and the best neighbor and all of the things all at the same time, all until the end of time. Something is going to give way. So this lie that culture tells us, this FOMO fear that we believe in, is that we can and should have it all and do it all. That we can be happy every moment, and we can have that ideal physique when we exercise, right? Or we can have that career and financial success, or the relationship or marriage or friendships that we long for. But you and I cannot. We cannot have all these things at the same time. That's not realistic, at least not without God. So even if you could guarantee these things for your kids or yourself or both, they wouldn't bring the satisfaction and peace that you long for. Listen to this from the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy. God is reaffirming the Ten Commandments for Israel just before Joshua leads them to the Promised Land. Here's what God says to his people through Moses. Deuteronomy 5, 12 through 15. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. You or your son or your daughter or your male or female servant or your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. And this is because, he says, that your male and servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt and that the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. So what does it say? Who rescued and freed us from the slavery of Egypt? God, exactly. And why is Israel supposed to stop working on the Sabbath? It's to remember that God is the one who did the work. He's the one who saved them. God gave his people a command to Sabbath, which includes stopping all work so that we would have a weekly reminder that he is God and we are not. He is the one who provides shelter over our heads, food on the table, health to our bodies, and the very breath of life. Friends, we cannot do it all. We cannot have it all. We are human. God alone is God. That's the bad news for us, but it's also good news, as you can hear. But the really good news is that God's got it. Yes, God's got it all, so you and I don't have to. Let's flesh this out a bit. Here are just a few truths about who God is from Scripture. Let's kind of go really fast. So here we go. God is powerful. He created it all. One of the favorite illustrations of this that I know from Scripture is in the book of Job, when God is addressing Job and his suffering. God says in Job 38, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth?" Well, that's the very beginning. That's everything right there. "Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? Or on what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy." God created everything. And we see and know all of this. I mean, he created everything that we can see and know. That's what I meant. He is omnipotent. He has the unlimited power to do whatever his design wants in his character. He is powerful. God is good. We see this throughout Scripture as well. One of my favorites, Psalm 100, verse 5. "For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations." His goodness, it shows itself in His faithfulness to each and every one of us and to all generations, our kids too. Speaking of those generations, God knows your kids and you intimately. King David gave us this great picture in Psalm 139. I'm just going to show a little bit of it, verses 13 and 16. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb, it says. Your eyes saw my unformed substance, and in your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them. God knows our days and our kids' days even before they're born. He knows every day of your children and your life. In Him, all things hold together. Aaron will dig deeper into this one when he preaches through the book of Colossians in the near future. But Colossians 1, 16 and 17. For by Him all things were created. There's that power again. In heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through Him, through His power, and for Him, for His glory. And He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. We cannot hold our lives together, but Christ Jesus holds us all and all of creation together in His love. And that's the last one. God loves us. He even defines what love truly is through His work in Jesus on the cross. 1 John 3:16. By this we know love, that He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. We can't have it all or do it all, but God can and does. He's powerful and good. He knows us intimately. He holds all things together, and He loves us. God's got it, and God has each and every one of us too. So let's return to the story about my necklace that my mom gave me that freshman year. That simple silver cross also had a little tag with a verse inscribed on it, Philippians 1:6. Yes, Aaron preached on Philippians and this verse back in February, but it's worth going back over and over again. And it says, I am sure of this, that He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Again, I am sure of this, confidence, that He, God, who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. This verse helps us remember these important truths about who God is and who we are and the nature of our reality. God is powerful and good and knows us intimately. He holds all things together. He loves us. God's got it all, and God's got us. And He's carrying us forward until that day that He will finish the work. For me, as this 18-year-old college freshman, finding my way through engineering, which is hard, and making my faith my own as I'm away like 5 hours from my family, I believe that my mom had been praying this verse over me, and that God, who brought me to faith as a young kid, would carry me forward into the good life that He was leading me into. And years later, God brought this verse back up to me in so many different ways, but I'll give you a few. In the stress of dealing with a friend who had threatened harm to himself and many others, at the same time, I had also just heard that I lost out on my dream job of being a college pastor. God brought this verse back to mind once again, and He comforted me and reminded me that He had my life and the lives of all of my friends in His hands. He was working things out. He would carry me through the loss of my job and through the stress of that situation and show me what good He was doing still. A couple of years later, I graduated from seminary which is really exciting to be done with school. Although I do love school, but I'm a nerd, that's fine. And I was beaming with joy as I got to share this verse in a short devotional at the convocation for our graduation, because God had started his good work in my life with him when I was young. And then he had carried me through joyful and challenging times with him as a teen and in college and all the way through seminary now. And at that day, I got to celebrate him completing my seminary phase of life, finishing that part of the good work that he had started already long ago. Many other times, God has brought this verse and truth to mind to remind me of his goodness and his power and his faithfulness to me and to all those who trust in Jesus. So the question for me then, as it is even today, is, am I living like this is true? The question for us all is, are you and I living like God started this good work? Whether it's in our kids and it's in us. And are we living like he is carrying it forward in his strength and wisdom? And that he will surely finish that work to his satisfaction in his time? Or are we striving to do it on our own? So parents, if God is truly God, which he is, if he's creator and he is good, if he knows every one of your kids' days and every one of yours, if he conquered sin and defeated death through Jesus' work on the cross for us, then we can trust him and we can rest in him. God's got it. God's got our kids. He's got our families, our careers, our health, our finances. God's got us. So moms, God gave the breath of life to your children. He formed them in the womb. He knows every one of their days. It's no sweat for God to protect them and carry them through every difficulty and decision that they face today and whatever comes in the future. In his power and goodness and love, God began a good work in them by giving them life, of course, and placing them in your care. He's continuing to do that good work that he started in each of your children, and he's carrying it forward every day in ways big and small, ways that you may never even know about. And he's carrying them forward towards himself through your example of trust in God as well. God's got them. He's going to finish his good work that he started. So God's got your kids, and he's got you too. This is true of everyone here. When your energy is spent, when your patience is gone, when worry creeps in about today or about the future, when your heart breaks for your kid's skinned elbow or broken heart, or because you find yourself to be truly human, imperfect, frustrated maybe even at the reaction of your kids or to your spouse or a trying situation you're going through, trust that God's got you. Maybe we've experienced broken relationships in our families, with a parent, with a sibling. Maybe one of our children has become a prodigal and broken off all ties with us. God is the way maker who parted the seas so that his people could walk across on dry land. He can make a way for reconciliation. Maybe loved ones or even ourselves are suffering through some challenging health issue. Well, we know and trust that God is the great physician who healed the blind and the lame and even brings the dead to life. He can bring healing. Maybe we're wrestling with the disconnect between our life expectations and our reality. Well, God satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Or maybe we're young and we're starting to make significant life choices on who to date, what education to get, what career to pursue. We can even then trust God that he is with us in those decisions and that he's going to lead us and guide us forward as we seek him. Or maybe none of those things apply and life is going exactly as we had hoped, let's be full of gratitude for what God has done and continues to do in our lives. So wherever we find ourselves today, God's got us. Let's trust in Him and rest in Him. Let's build our lives on Him and Him alone. So when we live in God's strength and this grace and truth of the gospel, we gain freedom from worry, forgiveness and freedom from guilt and shame, freedom to take healthy risks and be bold in living out God's plan for our lives, and freedom to rest, knowing God holds everything together in His mighty, just, and gracious hands. So I have just a couple of thoughts of how maybe we can put some of this into practice in our daily life. So if you find yourself running around this week and you don't have time for whatever situation you find yourself in, I'm thinking of carting kids to soccer practice. That's what's in my head. My niece is in San Luis Obispo. There you go. I encourage you to pause and pray. There's a helpful practice called a breath prayer, which literally only takes a breath. And for me, sometimes this is what I say as I inhale and exhale, just to remember, Jesus, You are God. I trust that You are good. Simple breath. Jesus, You are God. I trust that You are good in those stressful times. Or maybe instead of praying that breath prayer, we can set aside time this week to rest and enjoy the God, the life that He's given us. And maybe the life that He's given you and your family. I know it can be hard to stop all the activities with a few hours that we have and simply just be. It's a hard challenge, right? To turn off all the devices, turn down the noise, and slow down for even just an hour. But it's so helpful for us to pause and remember that God is the one who holds it all together. So try it. Take a moment. Let it all go and just pause and be with God sometime this week. Go on a neighborhood walk with your family and rest in Him controlling all the other busyness of life. And then, of course, as we do weekly, there's communion or the Lord's Supper. At Element, this is one of the reasons that we celebrate communion every week, so that we would have this moment to remember the reason we're all here, the powerful and good work of Christ on the cross. For those of us that trust in Jesus, I invite you to remember the gospel, Jesus' life, death, and resurrection for you at some point during the next few songs. When you're ready, you can come to any of the communion tables around the room, crack off some of the bread, dip it in the wine or juice, and remember that this symbolizes Jesus' body broken for us and His blood shed for the forgiveness of our sin. And in that, we can remember how powerful and good He has been, and He continues to be, and He will be until He finishes His good work. So if God is doing something in your heart or mind today, I encourage you to share it with someone as well. Maybe you're carrying a heavy burden of expectations or an unfulfilled longing or something entirely different. We have people who are available to pray with you in the lounge during these next few songs or after service. And also, Element doesn't pass an offering plate. We believe that financial giving should be an act of worship. It's a way to give back to God what He has already generously given us. It's also a way to trust that He's got us. So if you'd like to give, there's offering boxes at the doors around the room, or you can also give online. So for these next few songs, I encourage you to take a moment, ask God to show you where you may not be trusting Him, and ask Him to remind you of who He is and His goodness, that He is carrying all of us forward. So let's pray. God, thank You for this morning. God, thank You for this truth that You've helped me so clearly see. I pray that it would be deeply ingrained in our hearts and our minds for all of us, that You are the one that initiates. You are the one who starts this good work in each of us. And we can trust that, and that You're the one that carries it forward despite the messes that we go through. God, whatever might come our way or our kids' way or wherever we find ourselves, God, you are orchestrating all things for your glory, and in that there is good for us. God, and what a wonderful promise it is that you're not just going to leave us half done. God, you're not just going to leave our kids to their own devices and, you know, your sovereign will. You are going to carry them forward. So God, help us to trust you with their future, our future, just to live in this truth that you did all the work for us on the cross. Help us to rest in that. And because of that, be joyful and thankful for all you've done. Be with us in this moment. In Jesus' name, amen.